Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
First Things First, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim.
And I'm Glenn Van Zutphen, sitting in for Bernard Lim today. And Singaporeans' life goals and ambitions have traditionally been typified by the five C's: cash, credit card, country club, condo, and car. But is this material-centric concept still relevant in today's society?
Certainly hope not. Felt a bit embarrassed while you read that, Glenn. According to independent research commissioned by Tigerhall, the app that gets professionals ahead in their careers, the answer is a resounding no, thankfully. We speak to Nelly Wartoff, who's CEO of Tigerhall, to find out what the new set of five C's for the Singaporean white-collar worker is. Nelly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
So these traditional five C's thinking has given way to a new definition of the concept. Tell us more about this new generation of five C's.
Absolutely. It's very interesting, isn't it? It has definitely changed from the past five C's. And there's only one C that is still the C that it used to be, and that's cash. So cash is apparently still very important for people. But beyond that, the other four have completely changed.
Wow.
So the new four C's that we are seeing currently is after cash is career. And this is especially true amongst millennials between 21 to 30 years old. 9 out of 10 millennials rate career as one of the most important things in life. And after that, we have the third C, which is culture. So it's 75% that quoted culture. And by culture, they mean traveling abroad, having different cultural experiences, and even working with a diverse group of people. And then you have credibility. And this is really, really high in the age group between 30 to 45. So you can see a lot of mid-career professionals rating credibility as very, very high. And after that, you have convenience. Life should be easy, life should be convenient, and everything should be at their fingertips. So gone is the country club.
What do they mean by credibility, though, Nelly?
So credibility is
sort of your branding, sort of how you're coming across in your career.
Yeah, it's the way that you, the respect that you get in the workplace and being seen as someone that has knowledge, someone that is knowledgeable, someone who's good with what they do and deserves that respect and credibility from the people around them.
Nelly, when you look at this cash, career, culture, credibility, convenience, how do these findings reflect the mindset of, as you mentioned, millennials? I guess Gen Z would be coming up after them. Is this really across society, or is it just kind of focused particularly on millennials? The baby boomers, for example, are they starting to change their mind a little bit too?
They are, actually. So what is really interesting in the study is that across the age groups from 21 to 60, which is spanning all professionals, these five C's were resounding. So it's actually not that much difference between the millennials, let's say 21 to 30, and 45 to 60. So we saw more similarities between these age groups than differences.
Could it just be a redefinition of what these C's are? Because with a good career, one could acquire, if they wanted to, condominiums and
it all links
country
together,
club
right?
membership. You know, it's all about how you're putting the equation together, so to speak.
Yeah, but I also think it's the way that you project these values, because just having a condominium or having a credit card or having a car looks quite materialistic, and materialistic is not something that has status in today's society.
So and that is the change.
Exactly, yeah. So it's more like the projection of these, and projecting that you have a good career, that you're credible, that's more important than flashing your credit card.
Right.
And when we talk about this sort of emphasis on personal growth, on development, on having more than just stuff, where's that coming from? How is that developing? I mean, why is that developing? Did you get into that at all when you looked at your studies?
Yeah, so what we found is that it's very much in line with Singapore's quest for being a global business hub, right? And as society progresses, then people progress as well. And it's very, very encouraging to see that the materialistic side is on the way out and that more is focused on personal development and growth, because that's a lot better for both society and businesses as well.
Would it be fair to say then this new generation of working professionals with an emphasis on personal growth, development, for example, are less hungry than their predecessor, so to speak, in terms of go-getting type behavior? Because another study made by LinkedIn found that Singaporean professionals rated happiness as well as a high indicator of success, instead of, say, where I am at my career, how much money I'm earning.
Exactly. So happiness is an end product, right? Like, you can't go out and just be happy and now I have happiness. But I think all of these things...
Yeah, right? We want.
That makes sense.
I wish. But happiness is always a result of something else.
Right.
Sure.
So I think all of these five, and what we saw in the study, and when I speak with our users and the candidates that I was meeting in when I was a recruiter, it all links to happiness as the end product, but you don't get happiness without having something before that happiness. So to get happiness, you need these you have a good career, you have credibility, and all these other aspects, and having a cultural life as well. So that in itself could then link further to happiness.
Based on your previous experience as a recruitment consultant, now you're founder of Tiger Hall, what do these findings mean for businesses in terms of hiring and retaining talent now that their goals have changed the talent, that is? You can't just throw money at the situation in an attempt to hire
you can try,
the best.
But you could, it might not work.
Okay.
I think if we look at each of them individually, there are a lot of things that corporations can do and employers when they attract and retain talent. So starting with cash, of course, you can't ignore that cash is an important part and you have to offer decent salaries and packages in the first place. But looking at the other four, career and offering career advancement and offering career growth is something that is incredibly important, and especially to young talent. And then if you look at culture, the third C, having opportunities to travel, having an international career, and even things like just working in a diverse team and in a diverse company is really, really important for people. And if you look at credibility, it's things like giving them the option to show their credibility and share knowledge. And that could be both within the organization and outside the organization.
Mm-hmm. And Might that include more autonomy as well, perhaps?
To share knowledge?
Or to work, as in, don't have somebody supervising me all the time. I have the autonomy to work independently.
Kind of like what you do here, isn't that, Howie?
Yes, I do a lot of telling Glenn what to do and that sort of thing.
Exactly. That is what gives you credibility, right?
Wait, who tells you what
very
to do?
Very high on the fourth C. Exactly. But letting people shine and giving them those opportunities to shine is very important. And if you look at convenience, it's about things like making it easy for them to do their job and being at their best. So removing things like admin tasks, making it easy for them to level up, not putting them through exhaustive training sessions, and just making it easy for them to do what they do best, which is doing their job.
Mm. Yeah, with Nelly Wartoft, the CEO of Tiger Hall, in the studio today. Nelly, what's the driving force behind Tiger Hall? How does it provide a platform to help people get closer to those life goals that people are seeking these days?
So the driving force behind Tiger Hall is really to give people the opportunity to learn from the people who have done what they dream of doing. Mm. So any life goal that you have, there is definitely someone before you that have reached that life goal. And why can't you learn from them? Why can't you connect with them and learn the insights on like the mistakes that they've made? What are their successes? And how can you get that same journey and the same trajectory in your life? So it's about connecting with these individuals. But then, as everyone knows, these top CEOs and the most successful professionals, they have zero time in their life, right?
So how do you do that? How do you connect them?
Exactly, right? Because they don't go out and teach. They don't go out and train. They don't have time to do one-to-one mentoring. Yeah. So what we do is that we digitize their knowledge. So you can see, like, we take what's in their mind and then we put it into a digital format like podcasts and power reads, and we make it accessible in an app. So you can tap into the most successful CEOs' minds anywhere where you are, anywhere in the world, at any time. And it's all through one integrated app.
Oh, that's great.
Great. Also, lots been said about soft skills and how they're becoming more and more important, not just the technical know-how of doing a job, etc. Some people feel that though those soft skills might be hard to acquire. How true is that? Are there myths surrounding that idea, Nelly?
I think there are a couple of myths surrounding soft skills, and a lot of our users are coming to Tiger Hall because they want to learn soft skills. And one of the myths is that it's very hard to learn soft skills. It's not. It's about having the right role models and learning from the people who actually know what they're talking about. Right. The second thing is that it's usually seen as something that you can learn as a quite generic thing. Like, let's take leadership. You usually have a training on leadership, and that's like a 2 or 3 day seminar. But you can't learn leadership in 2 or 3 days because leadership is all about many, many small things. Mm. So breaking that down and making it bite-sized about each and individual small, small pieces that make you a good leader, that's a lot more efficient than putting someone through a 2 or 3 day seminar.
Right.
Nelly, as you look forward to Tiger Hall version 2.0 or 3.0 or 4.0, wherever you're headed next, what's on the horizon? How do you adapt Tiger Hall to meet needs of people going forward?
So something that we always do, we're always very close to our users and developing the content for the life goals that they have. So we always ask them, what do you want to achieve in life? And that's how we develop our content and our product. So next on the horizon, we're always aiming to make it more curated for them and more tailored to what they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. We're also in the process of expanding across South and Southeast Asia. So going to India, Malaysia, Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, and Indonesia within the next 2 months. So
that's making this aggressive expansion strategy.
Very aggressive expansion, exactly. Very needed.
Yeah. also very challenging to do because it'll be different. People will be different, obviously, from culture to culture, from country to country. And then to be able to gather all of that research is time consuming, is it not? How are you going to do this, Nelly?
What is interesting is that if you look across markets, most people tend to have more or less the same life goals. So it comes down to
be happy.
To be happy,
that's
exactly.
So elusive, right?
Yeah. Happiness, having cash, having that career. Mm. That's not related to Singapore only, but that's also very true in, for example, India, Philippines, Indonesia. So it's just about getting the experts who have done that in those markets and making it relevant to those local audiences.
Nelly, you're not Singaporean, I imagine.
I'm not, unfortunately. My condolences. Well,
when I was a kid, I was growing up and hearing all of this. This is in the 70s and the 80s. Mm. Cash, credit card, heading towards that goal. The schools you went to talked about it. As you went up to higher learning institutions, they talked about, yes, it started to veer off, I think maybe, I don't know, a decade or two ago, when those things started to be less at the fore. Was it surprising to you to learn that there was something like this happening in Singapore, where those goals were so clearly put out in these particular five C's?
Mm. I think it's very interesting. And I've been in Singapore since I was 18, so I've pretty much grown up a little bit in it as well. So I can understand where it's coming from. And I think it's an interesting way to summarize a country's goals and aspirations. But I'm very, very happy to see that it also has changed to these new five C's. So when we commissioned this research a couple of months ago and got this result, I was very pleased to see as well how much that has changed in the past decade
or two.
Just sort
of less material-centric.
Exactly.
Was the whole idea.
Yeah, and I think that's very beneficial to both Singapore and the world as a whole.
Glenn, what did you think? I mean, you're not from Singapore either, but you've stayed here a long time.
15 years. So I just kind of expect that people are always on that materialistic thing. I mean, looking in the car park of where I live, you know, it's Mercedes. It's
fancy cars, no less. Not just
brands.
Cars.
And,
okay.
Not just
where
the
do
names.
You live, Glenn?
Well, East Coast. Okay, but still, you know, you do see this, and on each one of those cars, you see multiple club membership stickers.
Mm.
And
some
of them even seem to be collecting them. Right.
I mean,
you know, you can see four or five different clubs on some
cars.
So you know, I think especially maybe the older generation, it's still there because obviously they perhaps have more money at this stage in their life. But it is nice to see that the cash, the career, the culture, especially the culture, right?
Mm.
And credibility are making inroads.
Yeah.
I think that's healthy in this stage of development for Singapore and Singaporeans.
So heartening, yes, Nelly, to see that the mindset is changing with the newer generation.
Very heartening. And I could see that from the time that I was in university to the time when I was engaging with a lot of candidates. And it's interesting to see as well the kind of companies that attract the younger talent. And that also reflects of the younger talent's aspirations and values as well. And that has definitely changed over the past 10 years.
Nelly Wartoff, CEO of Tiger Hall. Nelly, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.